Welcome back to Two Peas in a Podcast, where we are down to one pea, your host, Laura Morell. A podcast where no conversation is off topic. Welcome back to Two Peas in a Potty with your host, Laura Morell. This is going to be a fun little episode, but before I get into today's episode topic, little bit of announcements. One, we hit a huge download milestone. So just thank you to all our regulars that listen to our episodes each week. All your feedback, your support is just so encouraging and motivating because, as you know, we started this podcast as just a fun project to really be a platform to educate women so they can feel like they're just having a coffee with us, but also get some insightful information that can really help in someone's life. And it's crazy to think we're now in season two. And that brings me to my next point. This will be the final episode of season two. We are going to be taking a season break for about 3 to 4 weeks, and then we're going to be coming back for season three. And I'm so excited because we already have so many guests lined up. So let's get into today's episode. We have a very special guest who's actually harder to organize time with than any other guest I've ever had on the show.
It's not true.
That is very true. And already we're arguing. It's my partner, Bill. Welcome back. He's so excited to be here. today's podcast is going to be about going away. So we went away to Europe for 2 weeks, as you would have seen on social media. And I wanted to do an episode on how was I able to, one, be able to go overseas, eat the whole of Europe and come back and not gain any weight. And to Bill's surprise, this is the first, I'm going to call this episode Bill's first time not blowing out on a holiday because it's the first time he hasn't gained 10 kilos going on a holiday.
Not the first time I haven't gained 10 kilos. Just I've done that
many times.
But yeah, doesn't mean every time I go on a holiday, I put on 10 kilos.
Okay, let's change that too.
It's a little bit inactive.
Bill doesn't gain 10 kilos yet again on another holiday.
Yeah, maybe just say I didn't gain any weight.
And it was really interesting because obviously he changed. We'll talk about our experience first. But first of all, one thing I heard before going away that everyone kept saying was, this will either make you or break you as a couple. Did anyone say that to you as a male?
No.
Literally no one?
No.
Isn't that so funny? I reckon I copped like 10 or 15 people saying, oh, this is going to test your relationship. Maybe it's like a more female to female thing.
Maybe.
But I found that really interesting. So I went in there like, oh, my God, like, are we going to survive through this holiday and make it out the other end? But you know what? We did. And the funny thing was we didn't argue once.
We did once.
I was just about to tell them that. The one time we did have an argument, do you want to tell them what happened? You tell your version, then I'll tell mine.
What happened?
This is going to be so funny hearing your version.
You wanted food. So before we went out that night, I got food with you because I know that you get upset if I don't eat with you. I didn't even want food. So we got food at that rooftop. And then I got it just to keep you happy, but I made out like I wanted food. And then we went and had a few drinks. And then afterwards, Brody, my brother, wanted KFC, and I kind of wanted KFC. I was like, oh, we're here. I'll get some. And then you said you wanted chips, and then we went looking for chips, and then you changed your mind. No, you said you wanted chocolate, and then...
No, I said I wanted dinner.
No, you said you wanted chocolate.
No, I never say I want chocolate before I've had dinner.
But you technically had dinner because we had food before.
That was at 5 p.m. That's not dinner. That was like a snack. That was literally me lining my stomach because I knew I was going to have a couple of cocktails. So that was literally like I needed some food because we hadn't eaten that day. Okay, sorry, continue on your version.
Well, anyways, you said you wanted chocolate.
So not true. Anyway.
Are you going to let me say?
Okay, yes, I am.
You said you wanted crispy M&Ms.
Okay, yep.
You did. And remember what she said? I don't know if everyone's here is frequent listeners, but on the last podcast episode, she said 99% of the time, I'm right.
Oh my God, you're not. This is the 1% that you are not right.
Okay. Well, just keep that in mind, listeners. Anyways, Laura said she was so excited for crispy M&Ms, blah, blah, blah. So we went and got KFC. I just assumed she wasn't hungry. Then she said, oh, I want hot chips now. So I was like, okay, let's try to find some. Walked around, couldn't see anywhere that had hot chips. Looked like most places were closing. I even went into a restaurant and said, hey, mate, are you guys serving hot chips? He said, mate, the kitchen's closed. I said, okay. So I assume most places are closing. We even walked past two places that were closing down their roller doors. Then I said, all right, babe, maybe you should get Uber Eats. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Pretty upset. So I was like, all right, my job is to find some food on Uber Eats. Otherwise, it's going to be mayhem. And then got home, we couldn't find anything on Uber Eats. So yeah, that was the end of it. I survived though, woke up alive the next morning.
You have such a warped memory of what happened. Can I just say my version?
Yes.
So one, the meal before it was at like 5 p.m. because we hadn't had anything since like breakfast brunch. And I knew we were having drinks. So I was so hungry. And you, like, Brody and you just wanted to, like, go to the rooftop and drink. I can't do that. Like, I needed some food and substance in my body. So we did go to the rooftop bar and we got, like, a snack. It was, like, a little salad or something. And it was a decent meal. And then it was, like, 11 p.m. So I'd been to the rooftop, had a few drinks, and then you have, I reckon what you've done is you've literally recollected a memory from another night when I wanted crispy M&Ms and made that into it, because I didn't crave crispy M&Ms that night. I wanted food. I remember it. So anyway.
She's got a good memory, by the way. Really good.
Oh, you serious, right? So my working
99%. Don't forget that 99%. And that is a big percentage.
I had my clinical testing for ADHD, and they worked out my working memory, which is in the 9th percentile, which means it's only better. My memory is only better than 9% of people, which means this includes people with memory problems. So My working memory is not great, and this is why I'm obviously compensate with so much note-taking, but I've also got a very fast processing brain. So you can't throw that in my face. And he throws that in my face now every time argument. Yes, you do. That's not what I said. You've got a bad working memory.
Not to do with that. I just know that your memory of, like, arguments isn't that great. You got a bad.
So now I should say then, because my processing speed is 96th percentile. So when we argue now and you say, no, you've got a bad memory, I'll be like, yes, but I'm processing this argument faster than you.
Just continue.
Okay. Anyway, where was I? So anyway, we had a few drinks. It was like 11 o'clock and the boys wanted KFC. Bill was excited for KFC. They had KFC and I was hungry. I was like, all right, can we look for food? We went past one shop that was closing, and so Bill's like, "No, it's closing." And if you've been to Europe, you know nothing closes at 11 p.m. That's when all the restaurants are like buzzing. Like it's like 11, 12 p.m. that they kick off. And then he was like, "Just order something on Uber Eats." So I had to go back to the hotel and was having to wait 50 minutes for a meal when I was tired. Like I just wanted to eat and then go home. And anyway, that was our one and only. It literally went for 10 minutes, but the way we've explained it, it's like it was a 5-hour episode. It literally went for 10 minutes. And then I ended up eating chocolate that we had in the apartment and went to bed. We'll find the next day. So safe to say we survived. We were actually really good on a holiday together.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm glad you got through that event.
Thanks. Really, I'm glad I got through that event too. I was really hungry. You know, I like a lot of food. But yeah, it was actually so.
What a shit intro. Now they're just going to have to listen to me.
This has literally been like 5 minutes of us saying our one argument. But moving on to what we actually want to talk about is...
That may be beyond my abilities.
That was Siri. What we wanted to talk about was some tips on how to stay on track when going on holiday. And I feel like it's a really important topic because I feel like one thing I will say is your body and health never stops. Even if you put your body in another country, it's still going to react the same as if you were doing that behavior in wherever you are located. So I feel like there's a lot of work that has to be done on mindset and learning. So you can go on holiday. And let me tell you, like when I used to go on holidays, I hadn't had a holiday for a while, but back in my early 20s, before I'd recovered and had this beautiful relationship with food, I 100% would have dieted and then gained weight on the holiday and come back having to start again, kind of YOLOing. Like 100% that was my lifestyle. So I 100% get it. And I remember the pressure I put myself under to have to look Europe ready, or never been to Europe, but like Bali ready or like Thailand ready, to look a certain way so that I could feel confident of going on the trip. But to be honest, the best thing was leading up to Europe, not having to diet, like not having to look a certain way, not having pressure, just having to worry about what to pack. Thoughts on that? Did you ever like try and get ready for a holiday? It's a bit different for a male, but did you ever go through that?
No, not really.
Males have it a bit easier, hey?
Yeah, I don't know. Normally don't plan holidays too far in advance. Not enough time to do anything anyways.
Yeah. Whereas yeah. I think women are a little bit more planners and...
Yeah, no, not really.
Yeah.
I don't think... Oh, some blokes care about that, but...
Not everyone.
Not like females. Anymore.
Yeah. Well, do you want to dive into what was your mindset like? Because there was probably day 5 or 6 where you were like, you know what, I'm going to pull back on the burgers, and you had like a bit of a mindset breakthrough. Do you remember that?
Where yeah, but I wouldn't like... glorify it and say it was a breakthrough. It was just
I know it's not a breakthrough, but it was like
it
made you change the way you looked at food.
A salad one day, and then I realized the salad wasn't actually that bad, and I was like, made me feel better than having, because I was having burgers every single day. I had a burger every single day the first week we were there. So then I was like, I had a salad, and I was like, it actually made me feel better. And burgers obviously don't make you feel that great. Because normally when I go on holidays, I feel like I deserve to have a bad meal every single meal.
Mm.
So when I had a salad, it felt pretty good. And it tasted good too. So then I thought I'll mix it up a bit, because I actually looked forward to having salads.
Like, I would call that a breakthrough, babe. Like, that's...
Maybe. Yeah.
I feel like that is a breakthrough. Like if I had a client who said to me they were eating burgers and they stopped themselves and they were like, you know what, I'm going to try and nourish my body and have something a little bit healthier, and it was actually delicious, and now realized they could do health and have soul foods. Like 100% I would be labeling that as a bit of a mindset breakthrough, because even like since then you still now crave like a healthy salad. Like your mindset has changed towards that. Even now we go, oh my God, I swear, the alleyway, I don't think you realize that you sponsor us. I swear we bring them up every episode. But even now, like one of his favorite meals is like the lamb and quinoa salad from the alleyway. If you haven't tried it, try that, or the Nourish Bowl. It's amazing. But I feel like you've continued kind of that mindset.
Yeah, I just like salads now.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. So I'm going to dive into some tips on how we can sort of stay on track and not go into the all or nothing mindset when on holiday, because I feel like a holiday should be something that you just have an amazing time, come back, feel good, get back to work, back to your lifestyle. Whereas I think for a lot of people, a holiday is like, we look so forward to this holiday and then we come back and feel like shit and have to spend so much time to start again. Like, have you experienced that in your past? Like,
Yeah, always.
Yeah, and I think, you go.
I was going to say, what you said before about me putting on 10 kilos, I have done that several times. And when I do that, yeah, come back and you're like, fuck, now I've got to lose 10 kilos and try to put on whatever muscle I lost. It's just a pain in the ass. You kind of don't want to.
Yeah, and I found that really interesting, because, like, guys do go through their own shit too. Like they, as much as we think they have it easy, like guys do go through their own like goals that they want to have with their physiques and stuff and their bodies. And I've really noticed that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into some tips. I've written a few down and you can just jump in if you have any tips that helped you as well.
Okay.
But firstly, the plane, because I feel like if you get to a new country and you feel like crap, you're just automatically going to eat crap. Do Do you know what I mean? If you're tired, but you feel fluidy, you feel puffy, you just feel gross, you most likely want to just have a gross meal and say, I'll start again tomorrow. Like, that's my experience in the past too. So I feel like there can be ways in which you can get off the plane and actually feel all right. Obviously, with jet lag and tired, you don't want to feel crap in your body on top of that. So I think even with the plane, just making sure you are drinking water. It can be easy not to drink water because, like, one, you don't have a big bottle with you. But I think drinking water on the plane is really, really important for fluid and retention. But I also think just trying to move your body a little bit. So just walking up and down doesn't have to be anything. You don't have to be getting 10,000 steps on the plane, but just moving and getting movement in your legs can be important. But then also at any stopovers, I would suggest either really try and take a nap. So don't sit there and scroll, like try and rest and relax and get a proper nap. Or, and this is where we were very different. You were more wanting to rest and relax. I was more, I need to move my body. So I kind of really got a lot of steps in moving my body, knowing I'd rest on the plane at the airport. Not on the plane. No, not on the plane at the airport. So I think the stopovers, either choose to really rest, or get movement in, walk around. I think that can be really important for like blood flow, movement, fluid retention, and then having electrolytes as well can be really important because of the altitude. Adding some electrolytes into your water can be really good. And then the last tip would be melatonin. So trying to take melatonin if you are on, say, for example, going into a night flight, trying to catch up with the country you're going to, melatonin is really good. And what melatonin is, it's a darkness hormone. It's not a sleeping tablet. Fun fact, I did take a sleeping tablet and my deep sleep was shocking. It was like 11 minutes. I can't remember. I'll have to show the stats. But sleeping tablets does make you feel groggy. You actually don't get quality sleep. So I actually recommend something like a melatonin, just a micro dose of like 1 to 3 grams, and having that like an hour or an hour into the flight, depending how long the flight is. Because it is a darkness hormone, it helps tell your body it's nighttime, let's prepare for sleep. So that's what melatonin is. It doesn't put you to sleep, but it helps prepare you for darkness to say, cool, let's start preparing for sleep. So that would be my top few tips. So water, electrolytes on the plane, having some melatonin to try and get into the time zone of where you're flying to, and also at the airport, either choose to nap or try and get some steps in, just move your body as well. Anything you want to add to that?
Eat salads and eat before you drink.
Yes, I think that's top tips. But let's get into some tips about when you are on the holiday. So I think my number one tip would be do the work on the all or nothing mindset before you go on holiday, because I feel like if you still have that all or nothing mindset and you go on a holiday, it's most likely you're going to have triggers and it's going to come out. You're going to have a few drinks. You're going to have soul foods. And if you already have a strong all or nothing mindset, it's kind of like you're going in with a loaded gun. So I really think invest into learning how to end the all or nothing mindset, which is obviously what we specialize at LMW program. This is what we specialize in. And I think it can be really important. I do have a lot of educational posts on my Instagram, Laura Morell Wellness, if you want to start learning about it. But I think being able to recognize you have that all or nothing mindset and doing some mindset work to remove it, I think that would be my number one tip. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Second thing is knowing the difference between soul foods and whole foods. So I don't say good or bad foods. I don't say cheat meals. I don't say junk food, because I don't see food like that. I've got a really good mindset with food, and this is what I help a lot of women with. There's food that is higher calories, more palatable, less nutrients, and that's kind of like food that's going to really be aiding your soul. That's why I call it soul foods, because, and I always have soul foods. Once or twice a week, I'll say to Bill, let's go get some food. And I will have, like last night we had a beautiful salad, but I had a bowl of chips with it. Like, I love soul foods and I generally listen to my body. Do I want a burger? Do I want this? Like, what do I generally want that's going to make my soul happy? And then you've obviously got whole foods, which is more delicious, wholesome foods, which has less inflammation. It's probably got better macronutrients. So you know you're going to get your amino acids from protein. It's got good carbs, good fats. So I think it's about also learning to find your own balance between whole foods to soul foods. And that is so different for every single person. So for example, like myself, I live in optimal health. For me, soul foods is probably a twice a week thing. But if you're someone who may have PCOS, which you may have insulin or blood sugar issues, if you're someone who has binge eating, maybe having, you know, that soul foods two times a week isn't going to be optimal for you. Maybe it's one times a week. Maybe it's three times a week. So that helps you with not binging. So every single person has to create their own threshold or balance and knowing. And that's why I don't believe in the 80-20 rule and blanket ruling that for every single person, because again, if you're susceptible to binge eating triggers and you're eating 20% foods that are going to spike your blood sugar, you're most likely going to want to binge again. So I think doing the work of knowing your threshold of whole foods to soul foods can be really important. So like for me, when I was away, it'll be like, cool, I need to have at least, I'd always start off the morning or brunch because they don't eat until 12 o'clock. So our first meal wasn't until 12, 1. It would always be a really healthy, nutrient-dense breakfast, but they were still so yummy. I wasn't like, okay, I have to have a boring salad. They were freaking delicious. And that way I looked forward to choosing what I wanted as my soul foods, whether I wanted a burger, whether I wanted ice cream afterwards or, you know, any foods that you want in Europe, I felt good about having those foods. So I think that would be my second tip. Know your threshold of whole foods to soul foods. And then it's realize health actually tastes good. And this is probably your biggest point and biggest mindset shift is like how good healthy meals can taste. Even ordering like chicken and vegetables with rice, that can be so delicious.
Yeah, I never ate salads before. So
yeah, we kind of can demonize health foods.
Yeah, I'd never really, not since I was like a kid living at home, I just don't like salads, are fucking boring. But they're actually pretty nice.
100%. Because you look around. You kind of think lettuce, tomato, cucumber, right? Like,
yeah,
you kind of just think
like a little bit of chicken.
And a bit of chicken. Like, that's what people think when they think salads. And health food just doesn't mean just salads. It's like you can get so many array. Like, paellas are good for you. Like, there's just so many different. And that's why learning how to read a menu is really important, because we don't actually realize a lot of meals can be healthy. Mm. But, yeah, salads can have, like, good source of protein, lamb, chicken, freaking eggs, tuna, anything, but they've got good sources of carbohydrates, whether that's like pumpkin, potato, it can have quinoa, it can have rice, and then you've got good sources of fats in it, and it's such a wholesome isocaloric meal, which means a good source of protein, fats, and carbs, and tastes delicious. So get a little bit adventurous and try healthy foods, knowing it's going to taste amazing. And with restaurants and cafes these days, health food is freaking delicious. Look at any cafe these days, how beautiful their healthy food options are. The next tip number four would be food psychology. Learn the psychology of food. And this is, again, something I'm so big on teaching women, because when you understand how our brains react to food, it helps you to start looking at food differently. So, for example, if we're just smashing a burger for, you know, lunch and then a pizza for dinner and then chips and then maybe chocolate croissants for breakfast, but we're just having that every single day, we actually get bursts of what's called dopamine from those highly palatable foods. And this is why food is addictive, and not many people realize this. So dopamine is kind of like your pleasure hormone. And your pleasure hormone means it highlights the pleasure part of the brain. So think like a pinball machine. And that pinball machine is sitting in the pleasure center. So when you have a hit of dopamine, that pinball machine is like highlighting up. It's like ding, ding, ding. And that gives you a sense of pleasure. And highly palatable foods, aka those soul foods, highlight and you get that hit of dopamine. But so many other things can actually release dopamine, such as training, listening to music. Like, there's so many other ways besides food to hit that dopamine release. But what can happen with food is if we are constantly smashing those highly palatable dopamine hitting type of foods, your brain becomes adapted to it almost. So you actually need more and more to get the same pleasure. So like, for example, I remember back in my binging days, I would have like half a block of chocolate. This was before I turned into a binge. And that eventually wasn't enough. I used to get pleasure from it. Then it turned into a whole block of chocolate. That wasn't enough. Then I ended up having a whole grilled meal and then a block of chocolate. And that wasn't enough. So then I ended up having that plus cookies, chocolate triple cookies from Coles, because my brain got so used to having that amount of dopamine, it needed a bigger hit. So I think when you understand the psychology of food, it can be really helpful for when you go away to Europe, because you won't need as many hits of dopamine to get that same pleasure. So if you can have that good balance between soul foods to whole foods, when you have the soul foods, it's like such a beautiful hit of dopamine pleasure, but you don't become reliant on it and you don't need huge amounts of it. Have you experienced that before?
I wasn't listening.
Are you kidding me? That whole time he was not even listening. All right, I'm going to go to the next point.
No, summarize it really quick.
So I was just talking about dopamine hits. Yeah. So when you have so much soul foods, you just
No, I was listening, but I dropped off at the end. Yeah, okay. No, I agree.
Wow, not even my partner listens to me.
No, I was me and Paula having a moment. When I go on a holiday, typically by the end of it, the really good meals don't taste good anymore.
Yeah.
Like pizza's not exciting anymore. It does kind of ruin the whole point of
looking soul forward. Foods. Yeah, 100%. And this is a big part of holiday blues, because have you ever had holiday blues before?
Yeah.
And this is huge, because so many people have holiday blues, which they think it's a kind of like a mini depression because you have to go back to your normal world. That's actually not what holiday blues is. It's actually because you've pressed on that dopamine center so much in your brain that when you get back, you don't have all those soul foods, because you've taken out those soul foods to get that pleasure. So you've taken out your main source of dopamine release. So you actually are in a dopamine deficit because you've overloaded on holidays. So you become dopamine deficit, and that actually leads to the feelings of sadness and depression. So that's actually what holiday blues are. So that's why if you can learn to go on a holiday and not overdo the dopamine hits, you don't come back in that dopamine deficit, which leads to the feelings of holiday blues. Because like, did you get that after Europe, this trip? No. I literally did it all. I was pretty much, we got back, oh my God, Sunday afternoon. We left at like Friday at 10 a.m. and we didn't get back till Sunday afternoon. And I pretty much fell asleep. You had a nap when we got home, but oh my God, I have to tell you the cutest story too. Nothing to do with holiday tips, but yeah, so I fell asleep at 6, woke up at 6, and actually felt so good to get back into the work on the Tuesday. So I had the Monday off, but no holiday blues. So I think that's a really massive tip. It's how to prevent that holiday blues. So cute story, digressing, but Bill slept from like 3 p.m. when we got home, and I went to our next door neighbors, who are the best people in the world. And they got a cute little staffy. It was 9 weeks old. Its name's Ace. I love him so much. And I went over there and I was playing with Ace, and they let me bring him home to meet Bill, and Bill was asleep. So I brought this 9-week-old staffy to Bill. Bill was so tired that he thought the whole time he was in a dream and I was bringing him baby Polo, this 9-week-old staffy. So he barely remembers it because he felt like he was in a dream. It was the cutest thing. And I still can't believe you don't remember it.
No, not a bit.
It's so funny.
I do remember it, but I remember it.
Think it was a dream.
Being so confused that it had to have been a dream.
Yeah.
Like, why would you have this puppy?
Randomly bring home a 9-week-old puppy. Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, I wouldn't have let you follow some neighbors.
That's what I mean. We have the best neighbors in the world. Anyway, back to our tips. So the next tip would be, this is tip number 5 now, education versus intuitive eating. So again, when at LMW, we teach the processes to knowing when you need to do educated eating versus intuitive eating. And there is a process to getting to intuitive eating. Any coach that can just say, it's just a decision, I'm sorry, please walk away from, because you have to learn how to become an intuitive eater. It does take being in good health, not having blood sugar issues, not having certain triggers. So you have to do a sense of healing before you can step into intuitive eating. But I think when you're on holiday, you can't just rely on your intuition so much and be like, what is my body craving? Because you're on holidays, you're probably going to want to have alcohol at 12 p.m. You're probably going to want to have burgers at every meal. You're probably, you know, like your intuition might be like, oh, I'm only on holiday once. I'll start back when I get back. And that is your intuition. That's you listening to your body. So I think there needs to be an element of educated eating, which means, okay, look, I know I'm going to have some soul foods later on today. I'm going to have quite a bit of it. So how can I get some protein in now? And that's one thing I did every single day in Europe was, and you heard me say this a lot of the time, I'd be like, cool, yeah, I had a bit over my threshold with soul foods. I really just want to look for a nutrient-dense meal, because that was me. As much as my body was craving other things, that was me using my educated eating to be like, okay, my body's not feeling great. I am feeling a bit bloated. I was a little bit constipated. I definitely need protein, good fats and good carbs. So then I would choose like a healthier meal, and then I would have more soul foods at dinner. Yeah. Do you remember me saying that to you a few times? I still to this day always do it. It's something I always still to this day, regardless if I'm in Europe or in Australia, is just knowing, and I have that educated eating, and I don't always have to listen to that intuitive eating of what my body wants. Because I know sometimes when I'm tired at 10 o'clock at night, my body's not going to be like, okay, I need to get up and make a healthy meal. Not that I eat at 10 p.m., but like it would be easier to order Uber Eats. But if I knew my body wasn't feeling well, I'd probably be like, okay, I need to make that decision to have something a little bit healthier. So I think you need to know when to listen to and have educated eating. And that's why learning to eat from a coach or practitioner can be important versus listening to our body and having that intuition. And I think it's so important to learn how to have intuitive eating, because I listen to my body, I would say 95% of the time, and this is how I stay lean, because our body is actually designed to stay lean. We have inbuilt mechanisms to stay lean. This is why, have you ever seen a picture of a caveman that's fat?
No.
Yeah, because even back in those days, we didn't have the triggers. We didn't have the pro-inflammatory food. We didn't have fast food so available. So they had listened to it, their hunger hormones, like they had access to wholesome foods, very paleolithic. So they had very intuitive mechanisms inbuilt to keep them lean. And because obviously over time we've developed a lot more triggers, blood sugar issues, all of that, it's a lot harder. So that was my tip there, is just knowing when to have educated eating versus intuitive eating, but you also have to do the work to heal your body to learn how to become an intuitive eater. And believe me, ladies, like it is so beautiful when you can get there. Okay, I'm going to kind of wrap it up because I could be talking for days on these tips, but steps and water, the non-negotiables. It's pretty easy, would you agree, on holidays to get your steps in?
Yeah,
so easy.
Obviously not an issue.
At one point, Brody, Bill and I, so fun fact, Brody bought us flights to Europe. Like, I don't, like, who in their life has a brother-in-law that would buy them flights? Like, it just doesn't happen. So, yeah, it was incredible of him. But anyway, so we had one day that we were walking, and then we realized we got to like 30,000 steps. And then we ended up just trying to get to a goal of like 50,000 steps, which is absolutely ridiculous, because that was more steps than when we did the marathon.
Yeah.
And
it's mental.
I don't know why we chose. Do you remember walking home from the shops thinking we just wanted to get steps in, but we were so tired, our feet hurt. We got to 45 and then Brody got to 47,000. So we didn't hit the 50, but steps is just so easy on a holiday. So you probably won't have to worry too much about that. But water, on the other hand, is something you do need to be mindful of. It can be easy not to drink water. Yes, if you're going to a hotter place, it can be easier, but you still have to be mindful of how much you are drinking. So my general rule of thumb is I always had a bottle in my hand.
A big bottle, because they don't have tap water.
They don't have tap water. Exactly. So we would buy usually 750 mils or the 1 liter ones, and just smash that. And then, yeah, once that was, just try and have at least two of those a day. So we're just always buying water, because you're not really going to be drinking tap water. So yeah, just
not
being
at
conscious.
A restaurant though.
Oh, we learned
they
the hard
charge
way.
Like fucking $9 for a little bottle of water.
We had, we went to this beautiful restaurant, and we're like, the guy, the waiter, he was so lovely. He was just the most attentive waiter. We're like, this service is great. The meal I had wasn't great, but I was like, you know what? It was a nice restaurant. The boys got the special. Don't even remember what it was. And then he kept giving us bottles of water. And then he was like, are you ready to pay? Took Bill to the pay thing. How much did it cost for the meal?
I can't remember. We worked it out.
$370?
It was nearly Yeah, it was nearly 400 Australian. And it was just like a little small lunch. We weren't even that hungry.
Nearly 400 Australian dollars. And the dessert, he was like, do you like red? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, I've got something special for you. Now that I think that sounds creepy. I've got something special for you. Come to the back. And he chose you.
Sure.
I'm making him cringe. Yeah, and it was just strawberries and sugar. I'm like, that would cost literally $2.50. Like, it was such a cheap dessert. And anyway, they charged us $9 for these tiny little bottles of water. So that would be our tip too to save money is don't always get the water from the restaurants because they are expensive. So steps and water is my next one. Okay, the next tip is protein in each meal. That's a really easy one, a simple and easy one because I even posted on this on my Instagram last night. Protein has the highest thermic effect of feeding, which means it spikes your metabolism more, you burn more calories. But also, protein helps your basal metabolic rate. So it helps to build lean muscle. So you actually burn 70% of calories doing nothing but having lean muscle. So just by eating protein, you burn more calories and it helps your body composition. But it's also what keeps you satiated. So it helps you regulate your leptin hormones and also peptide YY, which means you can feel more full, which is good because then you're not going to overindulge in the soul foods. You can still have a little bit. Like last night, I had a beautiful lamb salad and I made sure I tried to eat as much lamb as I could. And that way I didn't have to have the whole bowl of chips, which was huge. Whereas if I had the chips at the start, I was so hungry, I probably would have finished the whole bowl of chips on my own and then had a tiny bit of lamb, but that's not going to aid in my goals. So making sure you have protein in each meal, prioritize the protein. That way you won't overindulge or have too much of the soul food. Mindset is everything. So I think this is a really, really big one because you want to heal your mindset with food. Not first. I'm not saying you can't go on holiday until you've like done all the work on healing your mindset. But sometimes, when good decisions and when you feel good spikes momentum. Like, have you ever had when you have a good meal first thing in the morning, you're like, oh, I might as well drink some water. I might as well just go for a little bit of a walk. Whereas if you have a crap meal in the morning, are you going to be more likely to have a good meal after that or
No
want to
way.
go for a walk? Yeah,
No way.
exactly. So start off your morning or like the first meal with something nutrient dense, and you'll actually find you want to move a little bit more. You'll actually get your water in and then have the soul foods a little bit later on. Whereas, so good food and feeling good generates positive feelings and positive actions from it. Whereas sometimes if you start off the day feeling gross, it's very hard to switch that mindset, especially on a holiday, to want to move your body or drink the water or have a salad. So yeah, I would say start off the day with a really nutrient dense meal. Would you agree or anything to add to that?
Yeah, kind of a bad meal to start off. Then I'll just have another bad meal or get a chocolate or start drinking. Start drinking is not probably what you typically do.
And this is something we said just the other day, actually. Remember how, I can't remember what day it was, but we're thinking about what meal we wanted. And I said, no, I'll have that as my second meal because no, it was you wanted to have pizza rounders. That's right. He wanted pizza rounders, but he hadn't eaten. And I was like, well, why don't you just have something nutrient dense at home? Like have something that's going to fill you up, make you feel good. And then have the pizza rounders. Whereas if you, and you even said if you had pizza rounders, you're not going to want to have a healthy meal
No,
after it.
no way.
So even just a little switch like that, I think can be really powerful in just removing that all or nothing. Whereas if you start off the day with the pizza rounders, you're kind of going to tell yourself, oh, I feel crap anyway. I might as well just eat shit food and start again tomorrow.
Yeah,
Whereas,
probably get everybody something.
yeah, just get Uber Eats. Whereas I think if you can get into that momentum of, you know what, I'm going to make sure I have good food, move my body, and then have a bit of soul foods, it can just help you navigate towards ending that all or nothing. Cool. The last tip, because we've already gone through so much before we finish up, And I did say to Bill, this would be a 30-minute podcast. Okay. And it's... I don't know. I think we're past 30 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, we did talk about 10 minutes about our fight. So...
Yeah, you're trying to start an argument over our argument.
Remember how we're saying that our episodes are going to be therapeutic because, like, look, I'm not going to get into that now. Let's talk about my last tip and then
she'll grill me after this when it's over.
You make me have to say, like, I grill you all the time.
Yeah, no, only every now and then.
So my last tip is think about your future self. And I talk about this with my clients all the time. I'll always be like, think about what future Alice is going to think, future Mel's going to think, future Sarah's going to think, because instant gratification is a big thing. We always want to do what we feel like now, but we don't always have delayed gratification. How do you want to feel tomorrow? And this is something I'm very passionate about, because when I was healing my relationship with food, I realized I was always giving into the monkey mind and that instant gratification of, like, those cookies are going to make me feel now. But I had to start thinking, what's going to make me feel good when I wake up tomorrow, knowing I chose a healthy meal last night. So I'm waking up really good. And I thought about how I wanted to feel the next day. And that motivated me to want to have something good. And that created that delayed gratification, which is a skill we have to learn. And it's a skill I teach at LMW, because unfortunately, we do lose that skill through society and pressure and mindset. And we kind of just live in a world of instant gratification, eating what we want, giving into the monkey mind, not thinking about tomorrow, I'll start again tomorrow. So thinking about your future self is really powerful. And one thing, and still to this day, I've recovered. I live in optimal health. I am happy in my head 99% of the time. But I still have days where I'm like, I could just eat burgers all day. I could just eat chips all day. But I have to tell myself, how do I want to feel when I come back from Europe? I know how much harder it's going to be if I just eat all this shit food now, and I'm going to have to spend the next 2 weeks trying to feel good again. So I even myself have to tell myself, how do I want to feel when I get back from a holiday? I want to feel content. I want to feel happy. I want to feel that it's easy to wake up in the morning and just continue on with my life. Is that something you've experienced before where you don't really think about future Bill and you're kind of like just given to the food cravings and you're like, I'll worry about that next week, or I'll worry about that tomorrow.
I'm probably still like that.
Yeah, but
like, I haven't got over that yet.
Yeah. Still to this day, I'm like, I will never coach Bill through mindset. I mean, we did do a little gut protocol, which was good, but...
I nailed it.
Yeah, he did.
But then I blew out at the end.
But then he blew out at the end. And from that day, I'm like, if you've got a partner, you never want to coach them, because I don't know. I feel like you even said this, you kind of rebel against me. So I just feel like, yeah.
You do enough for the both of us. So I just feel like I don't have to do as much.
Exactly. And that's an issue we'll work on another time. But I don't think that's going to be my issue. No. I think you can find a different practitioner or a coach for that.
I'm definitely more conservative, but still, like, I definitely know that most of the time I do have that thought where I'm like, fuck future Bill.
Yeah. But it's common.
Yeah. Everyone has it. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has it. But I think... And again, it's just teaching about delayed gratification. It's just teaching that you can choose to think about your future self. And I have great examples of my clients that messaged me and was like, I'm so glad I thought of, I'm going to use Mel as an example. Mel would message me and be like, I'm so glad I thought about future Mel last night, because she had her food prepped. So she spent the 10 minutes getting the food out, defrosting the food, and maybe cooking up her meal. And then she got home from work on the Monday and she's like, she didn't have to do all of that. And she's like, I'm so grateful that I thought about future Mel. And that was her developing that skill of delayed gratification. And having a practitioner to coach you through that can be really important, because it's hard. It's so hard not to give into instant gratification. I mean, I'm always pushing my monkey mind, because like I said, it's so easy to just eat crap food all day, not move my body, not food prep. So it's something I'm always... prioritizing. And I think it's something you can learn, but especially when you're going away, I think knowing to, yes, give into instant gratification at times, because you live once. Like, there was 2 days I got so drunk. There was 3 days I had I drank, which I'm not a drinker, but we had cocktails one night. That was fun. But then I got drunk twice, and it was when I was just with Bill, and it was like during the day on sangria and pina coladas, and it was just so fun. And that was me saying, like, giving into my instant gratification and letting my inhibitions down, and it was so nice. But it was like those 2 days was enough for me. It felt really good. It was really nice. But it's about having that balance of knowing when to give into instant gratification, being in the moment, because that's so important, to be spontaneous, be in the moment. Like, yes, I love being able to give into what I'm feeling in that moment, but it's also about knowing when to have delayed gratification and knowing when to think about your future self. In those moments, I am so grateful I was like giving into my instant gratification, because it was probably two of the best days of the whole trip as well. But you know, when it comes to your health goals and being able to maintain a lean physique and being happy with your body and happy, I think it does come down to having a balance of knowing when to give into instant gratification and knowing when to pull back and having delayed gratification.
A good couple of days.
It was a good couple of days. And the funniest thing was, we literally didn't do anything. We literally it was like 2 o'clock at the beach in Spain, in Madrid.
Barcelona.
And we're just sitting there with sangrias, and I was so drunk. Like, it was just so nice, like having no responsibilities, nothing. And then we got a massage at dinner, and I was like closing my eyes, almost drifting off to sleep, because it was like a drunk massage at lunch.
She wasn't that drunk.
I swear I was so drunk.
At the beach, you weren't that drunk.
The second day, I was very drunk.
At the beach, you were.
Because we had pina coladas, and then we had a massage, which was so nice, because it was like a tipsy massage. Then we went to that bar, which was so nice, and we had that jug of sangria, and that was probably the most drunk I've been in like 10 years. And then we got a burger on the way home, because I needed food, because I felt like I was going to be sick. But that's our top tips. So anything you wanted to add, babe?
No, I didn't have any tips to start with. I'm just sharing my experience.
But that's why I wanted Bill on here, because, like I said, I still feel like it was a breakthrough for you, because even to this day, just learning that you don't have to do all or nothing, that you can have health and have soul foods, I think that was a breakthrough. You might not call it a breakthrough, but I feel like it was.
Yeah, no, it probably was.
Yeah, I feel like that was definitely a breakthrough for you. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. As always, just a reminder, I am going to be taking a season break. Season 2 has officially finished, and I think we've done now 30 episodes, which is absolutely crazy. So thank you again to all our listeners and people who just are constantly supporting, sharing, and sending such beautiful messages. It just makes all the time we spend putting episodes together so worth it. And I really hope you feel like you've got a friend that you're just going for a coffee with, hearing banter and education, and we hope it helps in some way or form. So thank you, and I cannot wait to be back with season 3. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.